Yes, I am, by Norman Grubb. Chapter 47, An Example, Personal. Here are a few personal instances. When at Cambridge after World War I, I was unable to take part in my favorite games of rugger and field hockey because of a wounded leg. But I had one overwhelming urge, to get around to all the rooms of the men in my college, Trinity, and witness to them and ask them to join our then small group of the Cambridge Intercollegiate Christian Union, commonly called CICCU. I did this, though often it cost me a lot to do it, for they were mainly men who had held good ranks in the army and were pretty sophisticated, being older than the average undergraduates. Then, with only 2 terms left to complete my degree, the call of God came clear to me to leave the university and join C.T. Studd and his small band, who had been alone in the heart of Africa all the war years. I did not do this easily, because it was against the advice of my friends, and according to Cambridge rules, I could not return later and pick up where I dropped out. But I did do it, and it was death to me on that level. But before I left, near the end of that term, the Spirit distinctly came on me to go and speak in no uncertain terms to all I knew personally who had not accepted Christ, or who at least showed no sign of spiritual life, men whom I never expected to see again in this life. I went and pulled no punches, and a number came out for Christ, about 16 of them. This caused a stir like a touch of revival, and the CICCU men asked me to come and tell them about it. As I did so, it came like a vision to me that every university and college in Britain and the world should have its evangelical and witnessing union, as we had. So I suggested to 2 of my friends that we take a hall in London and invite some from Oxford and London and other colleges and hold an inter-varsity conference. About 60 of us attended. Little did I then realize that this was the start of what has since grown to become the worldwide InterVarsity Fellowship, now in hundreds and probably thousands of colleges in all nations, developed under the dedicated leadership of Douglas Johnson and Oliver Barclay in Britain, Howard Guinness in Canada and Australia, and Stacy Woods in the USA, and on through the world. There had been this definite commission that I had to give myself to witness in the university. There had also been an unexpected form of death in not remaining to get my degree, though it entailed only a couple of terms. But the intercession was gained on this far larger scale, as the IVF has become this worldwide student fellowship. Again, after Pauline and I returned to England in 1931 to carry on the home end, God's commission to our worldwide evangelization crusade was to go to any unevangelized area of the world. It was our custom then for those at the home end to take a slightly larger share of what monthly money there was before it was apportioned to the fields, as it cost more to live in England than in Africa. But when we had practically nothing to send to the 35 missionaries, I have already told how we were nearly penniless that first month, the Lord clearly said to Pauline and me, "Why not personally live by the injunction to take no thought for food and clothing, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and believe the promise that all these things will be added unto you?" We saw the point and accepted it from God, though to us at that time it was a big thing, having no earthly source of supply, not even from the mission. And we also thought at that time we should never get anyone else to join us in the work of the home and on those same conditions. But how way off we were! For our WEC co-workers, maybe over 100 of them at all our home bases around the world, all these years have taken no mission funds for personal needs, but have lived by the promises of God. In those first days, we did sometimes touch bottom. When we were about a dozen of us, we lived for a week in our London home with no household supplies. At mealtimes, we joined in the fellowship room, intending to thank the Lord for the bread of life. But the retired lady's maid of C.T. Studd's mother lived with us in our basement, where we also had our kitchen and dining room. Though she did not outwardly profess Christ, she really loved our young men, whom she called the Hallelujah Boys, and all we knew was that each day at mealtime the bell rang from downstairs. We trooped down to find bread, cheese, and tea on the table. We always thanked the Lord that, having asked for only our daily bread, we got cheese on top. We could only guess that Miss Musset put it there. Also, for months, we lived practically entirely on sacks of lentils sent us by a Christian farmer. But that was Daniel's food, and we flourished on it. Sometimes, though, we felt like the children of Israel who cried to God for quails and then got them until they came out of their nostrils. But those were early days, and it has rarely happened since. It seemed to us more an adventure of faith than a death to ourselves. Yet it was a spark which set us alight in our divine commission. The commission was on us to see that all those unevangelized areas of the world which were brought to our attention were entered and occupied, God sending the stream of recruits to enter them. What exploits of faith there were in the entry of some of them, but this is not the place for those stories. Year by year we did that, opening a new field every year until we are now on 40 fields. And we have already mentioned how the gospel has been going out to tens of thousands and how living churches have been founded which are now continuing with their own witness in many lands of Africa and in Indonesia, India, Thailand, Japan, South America, Europe, and elsewhere. Pauline and I had that specific commission. We knew we had it and that it must be fulfilled. God told us to take this way of personal financial death, which has become our home-based principle ever since. The intercession has been fulfilled, our part in it, by the establishment of these many fields in many countries. We meanwhile gained our individual intercession by it becoming easy for us, ever since, to trust the Lord for personal finances and to take our share in the stand of faith for the increasingly large finances needed by the crusade throughout the world, with no appeals made to man. I would say that right up to today, God gives us the privilege of being intercessors. As my years in our direct WEC activities ceased, the Lord gave me the plain calling, another definite commission, to get around the USA with the message of union and replacement in Christ, which has been the mainstream of this book. I had to do it. I had to go round and repeat unendingly what God has made so real to me. These are always new facets of light, but the heart of the message is ever the same. The price of this intercession is to continue nonstop into my 80s, even though my old leg injury makes walking a difficulty, though in fact you don't notice the dying when absorbed in the harvesting. And now, after going round for about 10 years, the Lord Himself has called in co-intercessors, all unknown to me. Bill and Marge Volkman had the call from God 5 years ago to start the Union Life magazine, which is now spreading widely and being the voice of the Spirit to many. Dan and Barbara Stone and Jan Ord have also had the call of God to give themselves full-time to the spread of the message, all looking to the Lord alone for their material supplies. Bill and Ann Mortham take charge of our Summer Fellowship Center in Wisconsin, a gift from Bill Volkman to us all. But the real heartbeat of our fellowship comes from the families who open their homes and sponsor gatherings for us all around the USA and Canada, besides about 100 others who are listed as Union Life contacts in the various states. A first footing has been established in Britain also, with Janet Inger, Francis Hayes, and Fred and Amy Dagnell being full-time with us. not that we are some exclusive group, but are one in Christ with all who give the full message of the gospel, seeking to make our own contribution, as given us by God, to the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. For Pauline and me, an intercession has been gained, and the harvest is being widely reaped. End of chapter 47.